You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer, and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Okay, you're listening to KX. I don't know why I feel like laughing right now.
Good energy there, by
the
way.
Yeah, you just came in with so much energy. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM, by the way. That's my co-host, Robert Palmer, in the background. Why are you so highly energized this morning? What's going on there?
Planet of the Apes.
What does that mean? You saw it last night?
Yeah, it was good.
And that just got you all pumped up?
Yeah, I'm still pumped up. Extraordinary.
You've seen all the Planet of the Apes shows, by the way? Or the movies?
Even the Charlton Heston ones. Yes, I've seen them all.
Yeah, I mean, the Charlton Heston one was the original, though, right? So
yeah,
when
you first saw it,
it sort of blew you away. Oh, really?
They're apes.
Yeah, but what about this new one now?
Extraordinary. I think it's the best picture I've seen all year.
Really?
Yep.
The best. You know, I want to make sure I got this right. The best picture you've seen all year.
I think it could be.
Because?
Extraordinary. The acting. Andy Sudeikis is amazing.
You know, okay.
Motion capture technology. You're essentially looking at a computer-generated image of a monkey that's a man with little buttons on him moving around on a blue screen.
Okay.
And you do not know that. It's incredibly powerful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's well-written, well-acted, well-directed.
All right.
I highly recommend it. It's going to be a big blockbuster.
I'll put it on my list then. I'll put it on my list. By the way, Radio Caravan is sponsored for the moment by Jimmy's Famous American Tavern in Dana Point. Regional American comfort food, cocktails, microbrews, California wines. It's open for lunch and dinner, weekend brunch. Visit www.j-fat.com. Also, Radio Caravan appears on Cox Channel 3, 8 p.m. every Saturday, 12 noon Sunday, and tonight and tomorrow. I'm pretty sure it's the Jack Tempchin show that we did maybe a month or so ago.
Singer-songwriter extraordinaire.
Yeah, Peaceful Easy Feeling, Already Gone, a lot of the other great Eagles hits and Glenn Frey hits.
And currently?
Currently?
Winemaker.
Currently a winemaker, yeah. Peaceful Easy Feeling Wine. And if it's not him on Sunday, then it will be David Wilhelm, owner of Jimmy's. So thank you for that. Okay.
You're welcome.
Let's just get right into police blotter stuff, Robert. I'm assuming you have things going on.
Today's police blotter.
All right, Laguna Beach, you know, you think it's a beautiful paradise out there, but in reality, it's a dirty, stinking hellhole. Crime runs everywhere. Vermin in the street.
Vermin.
The police can't even keep it back. It's kind of like Planet of the Apes.
Why does it smell like tequila in here, by the way?
Because there's tequila over there. Let us sample a few items from Street Beat out of this week's Laguna Press to give you an idea of the crime wave that is sweeping our fine city. First, we've got a little kung fu fighting here.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Last Wednesday, 5th Avenue, 6 o'clock. No one was charged in the aftermath of a fight among 6 to 8 men who provided conflicting statements about what happened. Two minors were detained and sent home to their parents.
Ooh.
That's like a mob riot in Laguna Beach.
How do you know it was kung fu fighting, though?
I just made that up.
Okay.
Sounded like a good title. All right.
There's a slur in your voice this morning.
Is there?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'll pick it up. So a woman claims that she was assaulted while sleeping because she awoke with bruises on her body.
That's scary.
You're starting to call a priest, don't you? That's not really called a
It cop. Could be sort of an exorcism.
It's sort of an exorcism thing, don't you?
Yep,
I think
possible.
So. All right. Patrick Taylor of Riverside allegedly stole 2 drinks. They arrested him and threw him in jail.
What drinks?
I don't know, but there's apparently 2 drink minimum to get in jail. Apparently, they let him get away with the first one.
That's funny.
I don't know. I just made that up. Okay, so here's a big rescue. Hey, Max Tech is here. So 2 bikers were stranded up there in Aliso Park, and they had to be airlifted out.
Oh.
Now, I live next to Aliso Park.
Right.
And it's like once a week some idiot gets lost in there or falls down.
Is it that big of a park that you'd get lost?
I mean, it's massive. The hiking trails are some of the best in the world, and guys come up on their BMX bikes, and they just crash all the time.
Oh, wow.
So about once a week we hear,
oh, okay.
Helicopter comes down and pulls that guy out. Hmm. Chief Medical Officer, you probably know that. Your safety officer.
We'll get to him.
You've probably signed many a death certificate from Aliso Park, I would guess, in Aliso Woods. I'm referring to our guest here, who, if you're alive today or dead, he probably signed your birth or death certificate. So we have a fantastic special guest coming up. I got a few traffic stops here.
Okay, go.
Arrested for felony DUI after driving up and down the street on Main Beach. Had a 9-year-old child in the car.
Oh, I don't like that.
Methamphetamines in the back seat. This, yeah. I don't know why it's a crime. The crime is officially listed as mudslide. 1:30 a.m., a neighbor's hill collapsed onto another neighbor's hill. How is that a crime?
Well, I mean, calling somebody fat last week was a crime, right?
It was indeed.
Yeah, so Laguna's has a very persnickety attitude.
It is. Speaking of persnickety, nothing is more persnickety than a raccoon. So here we have on Skyline Drive, 12 in the morning, a neighbor spotted what they thought was a burglar trying to break into their house. Turns out it was merely his neighbor following a pack of raccoons.
Ooh.
Very odd crime to be arrested for. Okay, so Daryl Murray of Torrance, he came to the police station, said he was beat up. While taking his report, they noticed he had 2 outstanding warrants. They threw Daryl's ass in jail.
Well,
so, you know, if you're running from the law, generally don't walk into a police station. Then once our last item here, we had 12 teenagers from La Habra. You know what kind of troublemakers those guys are. So they were stopped walking near the park. Why? Lighting fireworks. Probably the most ultimate crime you could ever commit.
Well,
they spent the night in jail and missed the 4th of July.
Well, there you go. Okay, that's the police blotter stuff. Thank you for that, Robert.
You're so welcome.
Let's, Megan, move over to About Town.
Oh, we're doing that today?
We're doing that today. We've got a lot going on there. I know you and Katie have put something together as well, but I'm going to start with the fact that our friend Henry Capono, who we've had here in the studio from the islands, is playing the Coach House next Saturday night.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and if you've never seen, you may remember Cecilio Capono years ago. Henry Capono is one half of that team, and he's still an amazing artist. And he was in here, and he's just a lovable, likable guy with some wonderful music. That's at the Coach House next Saturday, the 19th of July.
Sweet. Is that like island reggae, or what kind of music?
It's a combination of pop and island music and a little bit of everything, really. He's played with, like, Michael McDonald in front of the Dalai Lama, and he's done some extraordinary things.
Any disco?
No disco.
Okay.
Yeah, no disco. So that's coming up. What else do we have going on, Robert, About Town?
Well, we got a lot of stuff going around About Town. We don't have an intro to About Town.
Oh,
now,
needs the intro.
Man About Town.
All right, come on.
Can't do it without the music. That music is
well,
so great.
Well, it's the dance that bothered me.
I know. All right, well, I was already telling you earlier about Planet of the Apes, so I won't get back to that, but really, go see that. It's absolutely fabulous. But if music is what you're into, we got some great shows coming up. Tonight, with the LA Philharmonic, up at the Bowl, we have none other than Chris Botti and Chris Isaak. So you've got a beautiful crooner and a beautiful tuner. And if you've not seen Chris Botti, the man's amazing.
Yeah.
His claim to fame was he was lead trumpet player for Sting.
Yep.
Been out on his own out there with the Marsalis brothers.
Sort of looks like Sting, doesn't he?
He does indeed. Yeah. He's a good-looking guy, and he really plays well. So, free soccer viewing. Everybody's into soccer. Remember, we've got the semis today. We've got the finals tomorrow.
Yep.
Seegers from Center for the Arts is doing a lot of outreach programs. So in the lobby or the mall area they have out there,
yep,
they're projecting it up on the wall, having a huge viewing party. Indeed, they have movie nights now on Monday. You may not know that.
I did not know that.
Every Monday at Seegerstrom Center, you can go see a free movie outside and have a blast. That's a big deal. I encourage it. Of course, if you want to go to the Great Park, which I refer to as a piece of crap park, they have movies every Saturday night. So if you want a lousy time in the middle of nowhere with former
Marine
base.
Now, your man About Town.
You know, why does that happen every time?
Or if you want movies at the beach, you can go down to Newport Dunes. They're always fabulous down there. You know Newport Dunes?
I do.
Okay, but there's more.
Uh-oh.
What, did you say Batman?
No, I didn't.
I think you did.
Okay.
Batman exhibit, best ever. Warner Brothers VIP studio tour. More Batman memorabilia than you can shake a Joker at.
Wow.
$54 for the tour, so it better be good.
Jeez.
Of course, the fair is kicking up.
Yes, that's true.
Probably the worst lineup of music I've ever seen.
I disagree.
Oh, so you're looking forward to which one is Pink or Matsuya or Bad Religion? Which one are you just staying awake at night over?
It's a secret because I'm reaching out and trying to get 2 artists in this studio, and I'm keeping it to myself.
All right. Well, I hope they're not on this list.
They're on that list.
This is a pretty sucky list.
It's not a sucky list. There's several artists in there that are quite extraordinary.
I can hardly breathe just listening to this list.
Well, okay.
Okay, so more importantly, as you know, at the fair every year, the Alyeska pigs are running again.
Uh-oh.
Little baby pigs, they run around a racetrack. It's fabulous.
You've mentioned this before.
Yes. Yeah. You know who sponsors them? Ralph's. So if you attend the pig races, you actually get a free bacon certificate from Ralph's. I find that a little messed
That's
up.
That's kind of awful.
Isn't that horrible?
But I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, today, we got some great stuff going on I want to bring to your attention. Go. First of all, if you're a country fan, we got Brad Paisley going on tonight.
Nice.
One of my favorites, Steely Dan, is playing tonight.
Love Steely Dan.
Walter Becker, Donald Fagen. Michael McDonald will not be there, but fabulous. And if you're an ABBA fan, there's a horrible ABBA band playing tonight at the Coach House.
Yeah.
An ABBA wannabe of some sort. And, of course, if that's not enough, tomorrow there's Ted Nugent.
Yeah, Mr. Conservative.
But most importantly, right here in Laguna Beach.
Here we go.
We got Greg Adams playing at the Pageant of the Masters Grounds. 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Former lead trumpet player for none other than Tower of Power.
Tower of Power.
He's got a band called East Bay Soul. They're a little more funky. They're a little more soulful.
Yep.
A little more hip.
Yep.
Strongly recommend that. Show is free with a $10 admission.
I suspect you're going to be there.
You damn right I'll be there.
Okay. Can you say damn?
Yes, you can. Speaking of damn, I'd like to talk about God for a minute here. If you're a lonely single, I've got some hot stuff for you to do. It turns out that the Eastside Christian Church has a big party for singles called I'm Into Christ.
Okay.
And you can go there tonight, and they got small groups, and there might even be some prayer services. So that just sounds like the best damn date I can ever think of, doesn't it?
You never know.
You never know. You never know. Then there's the Lemon Drops. This one could be even better. This one's over here at the Elks Lodge.
Uh-huh.
I recommend that you dress casually. I thought that was kind of funny.
You know, speaking of music, by the way, last week you did Legends of Rock on Queen, and you had mentioned that Queen performed at the Live Aid concert.
Most highly viewed show in the history of the world, 1.9 billion viewers.
And somebody said that the Queen performance stole the show.
That was Bob Geldof, the organizer. Elton John also said that.
And I went online and YouTubed it and watched it.
Oh, wow.
And it just, I was overly amazed at, what's the lead singer's name? Freddie
Mercury.
He has such charisma on stage, it's amazing. What he does is turn on Max, is Max phone on? Mike on? Hey, Max Tech's in the room, by the way. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Scott.
You're shaking your head, yes. If you've seen him perform even, you know, on a YouTube video or something, that guy knows how to connect with an audience.
Mm-hmm.
He's really quite entertaining to
Arguably
watch.
Arguably the best. Yeah.
Huh?
Arguably the best in the world
and,
at that.
Yeah, and his vocals are great.
Yeah.
And he looks unusual up there, but you can't take your eyes off this guy.
Yep.
Yeah, and the music was extraordinary. And then I compared it to Adam Lambert.
Yes.
Who's now traveling with the Queen. There's not even a close resemblance to the two, honestly. Not taking anything away from Adam Lambert. I think he's got a great vocal. But he's not Freddie Mercury. There's just no way, yeah.
He was an amazing performer.
Yeah, really was. I was surprised. I was never into Queen.
The voice and the showmanship.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So, hey, in the room we have Max Tech, which I'm delighted, Max, to see. I've got a little gift in my thing for you, by the way, again. It's a little something you requested about 2 months ago. I finally got a hold of it, but we'll talk later after
Sweet.
The show.
Thank you.
You've been traveling?
Yes.
You've been traveling? Catch us up.
So I spent a month in Peru.
Uh-huh.
I tried the call-in once or twice, but it was difficult, as you can imagine.
It was.
But yeah, I enjoyed Peru, and then we went to Mexico immediately after, so now I'm here.
And in Peru, I heard you played football with prisoners.
Yes.
Not just that. Who did you catch a winning touchdown pass from?
Well, it wasn't the winning touchdown pass, but my quarterback was Coach Jim Harbaugh of the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow.
And I would say of all the celebrities I've met, he's one of the nicest, but when it comes to the athletic world, he is by far the nicest athlete slash like coach or personality you want to call him that I've ever met. By like hands down, amazing guy.
That sounds great. Yeah. How was the football game? I mean, what's that like?
Oh my gosh! So you would think prisoners would be intense. No. Harbaugh's more intense than the prisoners. So we would have
kind of a longish yard kind of.
He wanted to win.
We had like 10 people on the line, and he would have me translate these elaborate plays for prisoners who's never even played football before. So I'm telling these guys to run like 20-yard streaks, and they're like, "I'm like, first off, how do I say that in Spanish? Second off." Do they even know what that means?
Right.
So.
And did you guys win?
Yeah, we won.
There was no brawls at the end of the game or.
I thought I got an elbow from Harbaugh's son, but then I found out later that game it was the ball bounced off the wall and had a perfect spiral into my elbow or into my eye. So,
oh wow.
Yeah.
How did someone end up in Mexico or Peru playing football with prisoners?
he's my son.
Either do something really wrong or something really right. And I think I did something right. So I ended up playing that.
Okay.
Well, tell them why you're down there.
I go down the, like, build houses and stuff. So okay. Harbaugh also does the same trip every year.
Max is a very interesting guy. He's got a lot to share. So do we have some Max tech stuff this morning?
Yeah, I got a few little interesting stories.
Okay.
So something about New Zealand. Certain countries don't have certain countries don't have certain access to internet sites. Like New Zealand is blocked from Netflix. When I'm in Peru, they didn't used to have Netflix. Now they do. Well, New Zealand just released a free nationwide VPN service, which is what like most businesses offer its employees to protect your and encrypt your data.
Uh-huh.
Well, New Zealand offered this to the entire country so they could start accessing sites like Netflix just for the leisure and entertainment of the country.
Kind of not a virtual personal network when the entire country is sharing.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Good point. But New Zealand is also ranked number one in a poll of personal freedoms, beating out America as well as the United Kingdom. So it does go to show that those little things do go the extra mile, you know?
Nice.
And you'll be there for Christmas.
Yeah. A vigilante in Florida was caught with a low-frequency cell phone jammer under his car seat that blocks all cell phone reception within a small radius of his car. The police tracked him down after the Metro PCS headquarters reported tampering to their cell phone towers near this guy's morning commute highway, and they noticed it happened around the same 10-minute interval every morning and every afternoon. So they sent police officers there with equipment, and sure enough, they saw jamming coming out of this old blue Toyota. When finally caught, he immediately fessed up and stated he was just done with seeing people texting and driving, so he installed the device 3 years ago. He faces $44,000 of U.S. charges that are in place. Do you commend this kind of action, or do
I don't understand it. What was he trying to do? Stop people from texting and driving?
He had
you know how dangerous it is when people around you texting?
Oh, I see it every moment of my life.
He installed a military-grade radar jammer.
Gotcha.
So any cell phone near it, like with like all these cars on PCH right now,
yeah.
When they pass KX93.5, their yeah. cell phones would lose signal for about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So anyone who would drive near this guy wouldn't find a reason to get any text because they wouldn't, and they wouldn't find a reason to send any text because they noticed they didn't have any bars.
Yeah.
I love this guy.
That's pretty cool.
I think it's pretty cool. I'm a little disappointed he's facing so many charges.
I would love to have one of those in like a restaurant. Or
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think there's another agenda behind that. I'll bet you money they'll discover there's something else going on there. I can't believe he's just
like
there.
He's a Russian
because
spy
if somebody's
or something?
Hmm?
He's a 60-year-old retired man.
He's just a pissed off old man.
All right.
Get off my yard. He's Clint Eastwood.
What was that movie?
Yeah,
I know.
Gran Torino.
Gran Torino, yeah.
And then finally, I just read this today. France recently passed this so-called anti-Amazon law, which makes the shipping of books
free. Oh, I thought they were making large women illegal.
No, they're making the shipping of books for free illegal, which Amazon bases almost all their business off. Minutes later, literally minutes after France makes this law, Amazon decides to charge a penny for each one of their deliveries, making this law that took years to establish
absolutely
irrelevant within minutes.
Wow, that's funny.
Wow.
Beautiful stuff, Max. It's so nice to see you back in the studio, my friend. How much longer are you in town for?
This is my last week here.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm going to Connecticut for work and then the Hamptons in Florida. Yeah, it's really tough work.
Yeah.
Tough life.
Huh?
Cabo last week, the Hamptons this week.
What a lifestyle you lead. Well, very nice, my friend. It's good to see you always. You'll be calling in, of course, yes?
Oh, of course.
Excellent, excellent. Hey, Megan, you know what? When we were talking about town, I failed to mention the idea that it's the Pageant of Masters starting up this past week. And then, thank you, Max. You and Katie. Katie's on the mic, by the way. Katie, get on the mic for us. You and Katie put together a report for us. You want to tell us sort of how it came about and what you decided?
Fabulous.
Well, we got a little behind-the-scenes look at the pageant. We got to speak with some of the key people.
Wow.
A scriptwriter and one of the posers or actors, whichever you like to call it.
Poser.
They're called posers.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not, I know. I was waiting for that from
such
Robert.
A poser.
You're such a poser, but it's a good thing at this place.
Is it? Cool.
Yeah, so I think I'll let the story tell itself.
That sounds great, Katie. And was the process interesting for you?
It was fun, actually, because I got to involve my dad a little bit.
How so?
I interviewed him, actually, because he is one of the posers.
Your dad's a poser?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So that was a lot of fun, and I got to actually see the show on the Family and Friends night.
Good.
So that was really fun, too.
Very cool. Yeah. Let's give it a whirl.
Join us on a journey into the world of mystery and intrigue as seen through works of art. For Radio Caravan, this is Megan Jamerson
and Katie Fetters.
Laguna Beach's Pageant of the Masters Living Pictures performance is up and running with the Art Detective, this year's theme for the long-running summer tradition. So let's crack the case on the Pageant of the Masters. Will you set the scene for us, Katie?
Here's an example of what it means to create a living picture. Imagine Da Vinci's The Mona Lisa. An actor called the poser in full Mona Lisa costume and makeup enters the stage. They strike the Mona Lisa pose while being transformed by lighting and a set into a one-dimensional replica of Da Vinci's masterpiece, all in front of an audience. It's brilliant.
And what about the players in this mystery?
There are 50 staff members and almost 500 volunteers. We spoke to a real-life art detective and one of the posers.
Who is the art detective?
I am the art detective.
That's Dan Dooling. He's in his 34th year of being scriptwriter for the pageant. Dooling is a self-proclaimed mystery buff, and through a close partnership with director Diane Challis-Davy, a research board, and countless others, he writes the narration, the glue that holds the pageant's living pictures together under one theme. In a sense, he is a detective, because in order to write this year's script, he had to look at artwork as if they were clues to great stories. Once he found those stories, it was a matter of telling them in a way that drew the audience into the experience of either the artist's or the model's life, into the period of the art, or in some cases, a crime behind a loss.
Another player in the mystery is poser Paul Fetters, a well-muscled man cast in the replica of an ancient statue called the Elgin Marbles. He poses as one of four men riding rearing horses.
It's so completely different than the norm of my life, right? Here I am, I'm in Laguna Beach, it's 10 o'clock at night, I'm painted to look like a piece of marble, I'm on stage, the orchestra is going, the narration is talking about the piece that I am, and it's so surreal to be in that position at that moment.
According to Dooling, there is an intriguing and relevant story behind the Elgin Marbles.
These pieces were part of the Parthenon in ancient Greece, and Lord Elgin from Great Britain, during the height of the British Empire, went over to ancient Greece and thought, oh, we've got to save these. I know, I'll just pack them up and take them back to Britain. And needless to say, we are in the midst still of great controversial fights about who has the rights of ownership to things like these classical antiquities.
That's just one of the many stories told in this show. This year's featured pieces include works by Rembrandt, Vermeer, Peter Bruegel the Elder, Emanuel Leutze, John Singer Sargent, David Hockney, Benvenuto Cellini, Edward Monet, Sandro Botticelli, Edmonia Lewis, and Banksy.
A tribute to classic noir films and writers like Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler will also take place.
And of course, just like any good mystery, Dooling finds that there is more than meets the eye with this year's theme.
If there's a big, important point to be made with the art detective, it is certainly to ask the question, who is ultimately responsible for the world's artwork, and how important is it to us to try to protect and preserve art? And of course, I would say that art belongs to all of us, that it's not just the province of one country or one artist, but it ultimately, great art is really the legacy that we hand to other future generations and that we all share and can all appreciate.
I love that. That was great.
Thank
nice
you.
Job. I mean, really, that was a round of applause, Miss Jill, everybody. Educational, entertaining, very relative to the moment. Nice production value. Excellent work, ladies. Very nice. Was that fun interviewing your dad, Katie?
Yeah, it was really neat. Cool. I feel like he's been such a big part of the pageant for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
And so to have him be able to talk about it
was
really fun.
That's cool. Nice. Megan, have you been?
Yes, it was about 6 years ago, the last time I went. But I'm planning on going this year. Good. I have to, after seeing, behind the scenes.
Definitely.
Time to go again.
Talking.
One of the longest running and most famous art shows pageants in the world.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah,
so
they're actually, Dan Dueling was sharing with me that the New York Times came out to feature the pageant this year. So they're getting some national coverage this time around. Which
started
is
as a gimmick to bring tourists. They used to hang paintings along the ocean on the sidewalk and then began doing booths and doing little acts within them. Started many, many, many years ago. And the Irvine Company gave us the Irvine Bowl, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Very nice. I mean, even the artists' names were pronounced correctly, and some of those artists can be difficult to pronounce.
Oh, I looked all those up.
I'm sure you did. You had to, right? Yeah. Nice job. Really nice job.
Thank you.
Hey, in the studio, we have our lifestyle coach, Miss Jill Harvey. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
And
good morning, Jillian.
This is not Jillian.
Sounded kind of good, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. You look like you're ready for a workout, yeah?
I am. I'm going to go teach yoga after this. Yeah.
Very nice. Where are you teaching yoga, by the way?
Renaissance Club Sport in Aliso Viejo, huh?
We should reach out to them and see what they got going on in life. They may want to sponsor this show, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so you're here to talk about the difference between juicing and blending.
Yes, it's a great debate out there. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, some people are your peers thinking, oh, I just juice. And some people blend, and some people don't like the taste of juicing. Some people don't like the texture of blending. But, you know, bottom line, you should do both. And dare I say, I've been doing this since the 80s. So, you know, coming back.
That must make you
100 years old. Okay. Yeah. So, thanks, Robert.
You don't look a day over 80.
I appreciate that. I feel good.
You look great.
So, you know, it's back. It's popular. It's and it's important. So we're going to just distinguish the difference between the two. So juicing, you have a blender, a juicer, and you're going to put your vegetables and fruits and items through that, and it's going to extract the nutrients in the water from these items. And these nutrients are readily available because your digestive system doesn't have to work as hard. So there's nothing to break down. The fiber is released into a bin, and you're going to absorb it through the small intestinal lining right into your system. So you're getting concentrated nutrients. The debate on that was that, you're missing the fiber. So, you know, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
So what we want to be careful of, though, with juicing is juicing too many fruits and, sugary fruits, because that, too, is going to move through your system quickly, and it can spike your blood sugar.
Yeah.
So people who are insulin sensitive and even not, it's going to crash you down. Mm-hmm. So we get into that. And then when you do juicing, you're getting more nutrients as compared to just eating an apple. You can't eat the amount of apples or vegetables or cucumbers or carrots, whatever you're juicing, to get that concentrated nutrient amount. Mm-hmm. And then here's my thing. When I juice and there's leftover fiber, if it's organic, and try and do organic when possible. So I'll sometimes just juice the carrots and I'll make a carrot bread. I'll use the leftover fiber from the carrots and put it into a carrot bread.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, or zucchini, you can do that. Or you can use a food dehydrator and add a little moisture back and make little crackers out of them. So there's so many things to do. It's not wasting. A lot of people find that very wasteful.
What about a small cat?
Yeah, cats tend not to be too good, and they make a lot of noise going through the juicer.
Yeah, that explains it.
So then we get into blending. And in blending, you're incorporating the entire fruit, vegetable, whatever you're putting through. Mm-hmm. And this is going to give you the fiber. It's going to be a slower release of nutrients, and your digestive system is working. And it's also more satiating because it's going to fill you up. Mm-hmm. So as juicing, you may be hungrier sooner, where when you're blending, it's going to be pretty full. My issue with blending, though, is I've broken down some people. I'll say, what'd you have in your blended drink smoothie this morning? And they're consuming like 800, 900 calories.
Mm. They pour a bunch of junk in it, probably.
You know, and even if it's not junk, they're putting coconut oil in there. Mm-hmm. They're putting, you know, you can soak some almonds and put it in there. They're putting other nutrients. And these, although they're healthy, are still, you know, they have calories in them that will shoot up quickly.
I have a pressing question. The hot new thing now is called cold pressing. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nectar. I do a cleanse about once a month. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
But they're now cold pressing. Yes. What does that mean?
So we'll get to that in uno momento.
Oh, no. Excuse me.
Bilingual.
I am.
Robert speaks French, by the way.
Pardon.
Sorry.
Oui, les fluent.
Oui.
All right, so where are we?
So here we are.
Are you comfortable over there?
Robert, what are you drinking right now? Is that some kind of juice?
It is. Mm-hmm. It's cold pressed tequila. We're warming up.
Actually nursing it. He's been sitting with that same shot for All right, go ahead, Joe.
Okay, thank you, Scott. So when we are juicing or blending, we want to try and use organic when possible, you know, because you don't want to get the pesticides. If not, clean it. You have your Dirty Dozen and your Clean 16. People can look that up online. Try to the best of your ability to do that. And drink these juices or smoothies immediately if possible, because they'll start to degrade in nutrients within 15 minutes. And be careful of combining too many fruits and veggies. With your greens, it's good to throw in an apple, but some of your starchy things like carrots and things of that sort mm-hmm. can actually cause digestive discomfort,
mm-hmm.
gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing to do is sometimes
what do they cause?
Gas. Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you. Got to have that sound effect.
We do. It helps. So the other thing that's really important, a lot of people just chug these down,
right.
But you want to actually hold them in your mouth. Like with juice, oh. You want to swish it or simulate chewing. And with your smoothies, the same thing, because your digestive enzymes start in your mouth. And the major one is for starches and carbohydrates in your mouth, in your saliva.
Yeah.
So it's really important. A lot of people are just missing that, and it's a really important factor in that. So now we're going to get into the juicers and the blenders. There are so many out there, mm-hmm. and you have to be careful because somebody wants to sell you theirs, and people who are proponents of one,
right.
On their websites, you can click, you're going to be supporting them in that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. So we do have the centrifugal juicers that are rapid and they speed. Like I have a Jack LaLanne. I have so many juicers.
They still make Jack LaLanne products?
They do.
Oh my goodness.
But I've had all of them. I've had the cold press. I've had everything. And the cold press takes longer. What the cold press does is it simulates masticating the food, like chewing the food in your mouth. And a juicer that's centrifugal and speed is going to release oxygen and heat into it. So there's a breakdown of, they believe, some of the nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to say, hey, a cold press juicer tends to be more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If you can afford that and you want to do it, it's a little longer. It's a little more preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends. I don't know. I've been doing well with both types.
Yeah.
In a quick moment, I like my Jack LaLanne.
Yeah. A big brand is that, Vitamix is a real popular one?
So Vitamix is a blender. That's not a juicer.
Right. But are those good?
Yeah. So again, there's Vitamix, there's BlendTec. Those can be $400 to $500.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have, for me personally, I have the Health Master, which is, I think that's Montel Williams.
Mm.
And it's pricey, but it's not as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have KitchenAid and all these other companies coming out. But we also have the Nutribullet, which is a great, quick little thing. Yeah. Isn't that a good one?
Oh. Yeah. How do you find the George Foreman grill? Does that work very well?
How do we get to grilling?
I guess grill.
It's the tequila that brought them there. Let me ask you, if you put protein, April had protein in her, you had protein in your drink this morning, right? Is that a good thing to add those sort of?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
You could even juice, like if you wanted to juice a cucumber or a carrot or whatever, throw it in the blender, throw some protein powder in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like with April this morning, I asked her what was in it, and it was all fruits. So I told her, throw a handful of spinach in.
How about the protein powders and things like that in the wheatgrass? Are those healthy and good to add?
What happened?
No, about the protein powder?
So the protein powders, you want them clean. You want them from cows that aren't fed hormones. You want to watch that. You want to watch how they're processed as well. And they're doing some cold pressing with that. You want to really watch that. With wheatgrass, that's a totally different juicer, and I have one of those as well. I could open up a cafe.
Yeah.
But it takes a different kind of a juicer, but I think the cold press has a process that can pull it through.
What's the benefit of wheatgrass? Everybody always is selling wheatgrass.
It's high in chlorophyll, and they've compared it. It's almost like getting a blood transfusion to your body.
Jill, you're good.
Really?
Well, wow.
I mean, you have an answer to everything, really, and it sounds...
Yeah,
I mean, really, you're a very knowledgeable, informative person, and that's great. I'm glad you're on our show.
What's the square root of pi?
That is an irrational number, sorry.
Yeah. All right, listen, thank you so much.
You.
Very nice. Round of applause for Miss Jill there. Golf clap. Robert, here's my thinking here. I know you've got this big sort of Legends of Rock coming on. But we also have a guest, and I want to kind of either we're going to squeeze them both in or we're going to take one and
we'll squeeze them both in. Don't start panicking again. You're always panicking.
All right, go. Legends of Rock.
Legends of Rock.
1970. Sitting in Greg Pazer's basement. Just got an 8-pack of Miller Ponies. Popped the first one. Turn on the Marantz. Dropped the needle. And that was the first time I ever heard this amazing, amazing musician.
What needle did you drop?
Not that kind.
Oh,
needle on a turnstile to land on a LP album. And this busted out. It was the first time I ever heard this man's music. One of the best guitar introductions you will ever hear. A little Funk 49.
Yeah, that's nice.
James Gang Rides Again, 1970, the birth of the Power Trio, one of the best bands in history. Joe Walsh hit the scene boldly and proudly. He actually re-rigged the pickups on his Fender Stratocaster to give him that patented Joe Walsh sound.
Wow.
Right after Funk 49, he followed up with another hit, Walk Away. The Power Trio, baby.
Air guitar. Robert on air guitar. It's not pretty, Centone.
All right. Well, it seemed to Joe that he needed an even bigger hit. 2 years later, on The Smoker You Drink, The Player You Get, his famous album, he came out with one of rock's legends, Rocky Mountain Way.
Great song.
Notice the strength just of the singular guitar work. It's almost always him starting these songs. See the need for the tequila now?
I do. That's Dr. Eric Handler in the background, by the way. Our next guest is coming up as soon as Robert threw at Legends of Rock.
That went all the way up to number 23 on the U.S. charts, and he followed it up with a slightly less popular but equally beautiful, The Meadows. With a great David Lee Roth kind of intro here.
Sounds like David Lee Roth. Uh-huh.
You gotta love that intro. Uh-huh. Sounds a lot like My Woman from Tokyo, too. He wrote it first.
Yeah?
Tokyo. Powerful stuff.
Powerful stuff.
In 1974, he put out a live album of some of his best hits, so a lot of records, but he added one new tune to it, one of the most moving songs he ever wrote, Turn to Stone.
Why do you say it was one of the more moving songs he ever wrote?
Pretty passionate.
Oh, okay.
So in 1975, if you can believe it, he was asked to move to London and join Humble Pie.
I remember
that band?
Pie, sure.
He wisely said, hell no.
Yeah.
He was then approached by none other than the Eagles. 1975, Don Henley did not want him joining the band, thought he was too wild. Now, I'm going to explain something to you now, Lucy. Joe Walsh saved the Eagles. The Eagles were a great country rock band. This is pre-Walsh.
Right.
Okay? They were a dying bird. They were going on one wing, couldn't find worms, hanging out there with Glenn Frey doing this kind of crap and Timothy B. Schmidt, you know, doing his little falsetto.
Well, this is
pre-Joe Walsh, okay?
All right, I'm following.
You want to hear the first song Joe Walsh wrote for the Eagles?
Let's hear it.
Little different, a little better.
I like that. I like that segue. That's not Badmouth, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, though. It's a great song. But it's not.
I'm sorry, the Eagles would be dead but for Joe Walsh.
That's a bold statement, actually.
It is indeed. But this became the contemporary sound of the Eagles. So even while the Eagles were on top of the world, Joe Walsh continued to do his own music. And he came out with one of the all-time classics of all time, Life's Been Good. He's going to talk about his Maserati. Doing 185.
Yeah.
Again, every song starts with an amazing guitar riff. So that went to number 12. Give you an idea of the virtuosity of this man. He then went on and did a couple soundtracks. He did a song for the Warriors, including the song In the City, which is an absolutely gorgeous song. And this was remade later by the Eagles on their Long Run album.
Yeah. Who are the Warriors?
It's a movie.
Oh, the gang movie?
Yeah.
The Warriors? What's the relationship there? I don't get it.
Joe used to be a Blood or a Crypt. I can't remember.
Yeah. There were no Blood and Crypts in that movie.
Only gangs I know.
Oh, okay.
So the Eagles, even with Joe, finally said adieu to one another. There was massive internal fighting. They couldn't stand each other. Walsh went on and wrote this song, believe it or not, for the movie The Urban Cowboy, All Night Long. You kind of see John Travolta and his bad little outfit with Deborah Winger dancing around.
Yeah. Based on an article from Rolling Stone magazine, by the way, that movie.
Indeed. Should have stayed there.
It did well.
In 1984, the band got back together for their Hell Freezes Over, and they still continue to tour to this day. He's had an amazing, prolific career. He's written songs for, produced, and played on albums for America, REO Speedwagon, Andy Gibb, Wilson Phillips, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, for heaven's sake.
Wilson Phillips.
Stevie Winwood, and on Richard Marx, Don't Mean Nothing, he played the lead solo on that. He was even a guest DJ on KLS for nearly a decade. And he was recently the 60th guest on Daryl's House, which is an amazing show that I encourage you all to watch.
I agree on that point.
Little Joey's been married 5 times. He's struggled with drugs and alcohol, but he's been sober since 1995.
Good for him.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because in 1994, he woke up on an airplane that just landed in Paris, France, with a passport in his pocket and no idea why he was there or how he got there. He's been sober since that day.
That's scary.
Jimmy Page plays his guitar that Joe Walsh gave him, a 1959 Gibson Les Paul Sunburst. I have a reproduction of that exact guitar.
I love that guitar. I love that Les Paul.
And in 1970, Joe Walsh gave Pete Townsend a guitar. So we'll leave with this thought. Walsh was ranked as the number 54 greatest guitar player of all time. I would debate that. I would put him at least 53. He's done many wonderful things. Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page said he's a tremendous player. Loved his style since the James Gang.
Yeah.
Clapton said one of the best guitar players I've ever heard. Pete Townsend said fluid and intelligent. Last hit he ever had was, I'm an ordinary Joe, I'm an ordinary guy. You may remember this song, last thing you heard out of him. But I'm going to leave you on this thought. Guitar Player magazine rated this guitar solo as the number one solo in the history of the world. Can you guess?
Yeah. They play it every day on the radio.
Don Felder. And
Joe Walsh.
And you can tell when Joe comes in on this. Probably the greatest dueling guitar solo of all time. Hotel California. We're going to take you out.
Well, wait. Don't take us out just yet. Yeah. I got one more thing to add. Don Felder was in town a couple of years ago when he had his book come out.
After he was fired.
And I heard him talk about the lead to this. And he told the audience then that he had to rewrite the lead solo because of the limited skills of Joe Walsh. That's what he said. Joe Walsh is not a classically trained guitarist or musician, right? He's one of those guys that picked up the guitar and just started playing it. But it's a completely distinctive, different sound than Don Felder
was fired from
for
the
that reason. For other reasons, I'm sure.
Now, I will wait till you hear Joe come in.
Do you know the part of his? I mean, it's a dual lead going.
You'll hear it. Right there, baby.
Yeah.
That is not a man of limited skills.
All right, 30 seconds break. We're coming back. We got a great guest coming in, Dr. Eric Handler. So, Megan, take us out for 30 seconds only, please.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
No, but we got business to take care of here. Robert's over here in the corner talking about his motorcycle.
Well, the doctor likes the Can-Am three-wheelers. Those are pretty bitchin'.
They are. So let's introduce our guest this morning. By the way, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, here with my co-host Robert Palmer, and this, of course, is Radio Caravan. Today's guest is Dr. Eric Handler, who is Orange County Health Officer. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
And by the way, thank you for coming in. This came about, Robert was at a lecture about 2 weeks ago or so.
He volunteered his time to come out to the food bank, and I was incredibly impressed by him. More importantly, I want him to remember me. For those of you that were born in Orange County or, like me, will die in Orange County, he will be the gentleman that signs your birth certificate and your death certificate. So, doctor, keep an eye out for my name. It'll be coming soon, I fear.
I'd rather be known for birth certificates than
death certificates. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Very good.
Dr. Handler was appointed Orange County Health Officer in 2006, if I have that correct.
That's correct.
His experiences include serving as the Deputy Secretary for Children's Medical Services in the Florida Department of Health and as Chief Medical Officer for the Florida Department of Children and Families. And we're really here to sort of talk about this program that you started called Waste Not Orange County. And I guess my first question is, does Orange County still rank high as in the nation for children or childhood food insecurity? And can you define this term for us?
Certainly. It's a great question. In Orange County, we're one of the top 10 counties having the highest number of individuals facing food insecurity, where they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Mm-hmm. In Orange County, 1 out of 5 children suffer from food insecurity, and up to 400,000 people.
Wow.
In the county.
Why, Orange County, one of the more affluent counties in the country, why Orange County?
It's PBS came out in January, did a story on what we're doing with regards to hunger. And the piece started off with Paul Leon from Illumination Foundation saying it's a tale of two cities. You've got Newport and you've got Santa Ana and very little in between. And so it's just a very high discrepancy between income, and that impacts what we're seeing.
So as a result, in 2012, you co-founded the Waste Not Orange County Coalition, a public-private partnership to help reduce hunger by facilitating the donation of surplus food. Describe the program, or I guess describe what inspired you to start the program.
So it was interesting. I was in Sacramento for a meeting, and I was having breakfast at one of the restaurants, and a gentleman walked over to me and said, "Hi, Dr. Handler." And it turned out it was Mark Lawry, who's the CEO of the Orange County Food Bank. And we had a talk for about an hour, and I asked him two questions. "Do you have enough food?" And he said, "No." And the second question was, "If we captured all the food that was thrown away, could we end hunger in Orange County?" And he said, "Absolutely." And I went, "Then why aren't we doing that?"
So what inspired you to come up with that idea at that particular time?
You have to ask my wife. These things just pop
into
my head.
It's
crazy. But it was interesting because you go to events and conferences and you see all the food that's wasted and thrown out. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about such an incredible need nationally, mm-hmm. there are 16 million children nationally who don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Mm-hmm. And we can end it. Mm-hmm.
Doctor, one of my favorite things about your story, because I heard it a while ago at the food bank from you, and that's why you're here, is until recently, how much funding did people donate to you to create this incredible program from scratch?
So the program that we built and the toolkits that we developed, which can be replicated anywhere in any city or any county, was done on zero funding.
That's extraordinary. I've never heard of such a thing.
But it's the coalition. People came to the table, and it was in-kind contribution, and they decided that we are going to do something to move this forward. And what was interesting, we have activities in Orange County. We got the Second Harvest Food Bank, SeniorServe, we got the OC Food Bank. But bringing them together just amplified what we were able to do. And I was just bringing people together and say, "Look, you're the experts. Help me out here. What can we do to move this forward?" So let me just share one example of a very simple thing that we did that changed the whole landscape. We had a meeting in November 2012 with the food industry, and we asked the question, why aren't restaurants and grocery stores donating food? And they came up with two answers: liability, and the health department won't allow us, which is absolutely false.
And you said, wait a minute, I am the health department.
It didn't bode well with me nor the director of environmental health. So the environmental health inspectors that go out and do the inspections of the restaurants developed a one-page sheet that says if the food's prepared correctly and donated, you're not held liable because of the Good Samaritan Act. But people don't know that. So what they usually say is the reason we're not donating our food and throwing it out is because of the liability issue. And we go, wait, that's not true. So we have a very large educational campaign to tell people that it is okay.
But until your program, people didn't have that outlet, that safety net, that liability waiver, so to speak.
It existed.
This is a huge change.
No, it existed.
But they don't know that.
Exactly.
Or they used it as an excuse not to participate, maybe.
Maybe that's a possibility.
How much food is wasted in Orange County? Do we have a sense of that?
We have it nationally. There's a lot. I can't give you the exact number, but I can tell you a couple things. One is, since we started this operation, there's been a 27% increase in food donations to the food bank.
Wow.
Not due primary. We just played a role in that. But I have to share, when you ask the question, how much food is actually thrown out, last week, Theo Lacey Jail joined the Waste Not OC Coalition. Mm-hmm. They were throwing out food. They have to have prepared meals, and not all of the inmates eat the meals. They are now donating 300 to 500 meals a day to the Salvation Army and others instead of throwing out the food. Just one jail. Just imagine.
Extraordinary.
Imagine other organizations, what they can do.
So there's sort of a three-pronged approach to this process. There's the food recovery, food distribution, training and education, which you mentioned a moment ago. Do you want to kind of walk us through that process?
Absolutely.
For the restaurants or the businesses that out there who may want to participate in this program?
Well, we already talked about, if you want to participate, you go to our wastenotoc.org website. And what's interesting, the first part is capturing the food, and we have restaurant inspectors and volunteers working with the restaurants and grocery stores to get them to donate. If they do, we have a seal that they can put in their window, saying we are a supporter of the Waste Not OC campaign.
I like that.
Do they get a free Prius with that as well?
No, they get my cars, the keys to my car. So that's number one. And
that's huge down here in Orange County.
They're really excited.
Restaurateurs are very into that. They would be very proud of that, I would say.
Exactly. The other part of this three-prong is, besides the education, I'm a pediatric rehab specialist that have been seeing patients for 30-plus years. And I never, ever asked any of my families if they were facing food insecurity. Do you know why I never did? Because if they said yes, what could I share with them?
Right.
Nothing.
Nothing. So I had three students with me last summer. They called me into the office, and they said, Dr. Han, look what we did. And they showed me a Google map of all the food pantries, 240 of them, in Orange County. And you click on a bubble, it gives you the name of the pantry, hours of operations, phone number, and location.
So if I'm a doctor, I can now ask that question, and right on my laptop or right on my iPad, I can show my patient exactly where to go for food.
Exactly. And so an organization called Altamed that has 7 community clinics in Orange County, they've incorporated the two questions to evaluate food insecurity. And if the answer is yes, they direct them through Google Map where to go.
Wow.
Why would a business, are we okay? Why would a business, I'm not sure, can you hear me, Megan? Oh, okay, sorry. Somehow we lost the microphone there. Why would a business say no?
Well, the answer to that November 2012 question was the liability.
But now that that's not an issue, why would a business say no?
I think it's because they are concerned about the detail that's required to donate food. The interesting thing about our campaign is we're not a not-for-profit, a 501c3. We have partnered with Food Finders. Food Finders is based in Long Beach. They go out, get the food, and deliver it. So now, people, they will help them prepare the food for donation. Our environmental health specialists will help educate them what they need to do the food donation. So we are right now taking all of our resources and focusing in the city of Orange and Anaheim to see how much food donation we're going to be able to capture.
Hey, Doctor, one of the reasons I was anxious to have you on the show is I've been telling you that no better city could do this, I think, than Laguna, which is a very community activist area. And I'm going to get you down here eventually once you get your pilot program. You told me, let me get my pilot right, then we'll come here next. For example, across the street, Romari. It's a wonderful family-owned business, great place, Italian food, phenomenal. what would you tell them that would be required of them to enter in this program? What do they have to do to prepare the food, to give it to you? What's required on their part, and how would that help?
So we would put them in contact with food finders. They would educate them as to what they needed to do. I forgot to mention that the City of Orange in Anaheim, this effort that we have, we've developed a task force that's going to go out and talk to the restaurants and educate them just like we. It's headed by Mike Liarakis, who's the owner of Catella Grill, and he's bringing in his partners to help with the education and pulling this out. So we've got this from the business standpoint. We've got this from the public health. There's no bigger public health issue, in my mind, than hunger.
And is this a lot of extra cost to me as a restaurant manager?
No.
All this training and packing up and shipping? Or
no, it's minimal. And we were very fortunate, even though I said we had no funding, we were contacted.
You have some funding.
We have some funding.
From me, I believe.
Yes, that's true. United Way called out of the blue, and they said, Dr. Handler, we hear what you are doing. We have learned what you are doing, and we want to help your effort. And they wrote a check for $50,000 that was delivered this week, and we're using it for containers, educational material, and things like that.
Wonderful. We're so glad to be a part of that.
And we are, too.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I don't see any reason why a business would say no to this. I mean, honestly, it just seems like a win-win situation for everybody involved. It's just a matter of getting the word out there and spreading it and letting people know it's available.
And you're not taking like their day-old Kobe beef. You're taking things that they otherwise would not be utilizing but are still perfectly healthy and edible.
That's exactly right. And so once we have the infrastructure in place to help them, educate them, do the process for donations. So there's no excuse.
What's been the impact since 2012? What's been the impact? I know you said 27% increase in the donations of food to the various.
Well, the impact as, for example, the Google map and the two questions, we are pushing that out nationally.
Nice.
We've gotten coverage from the American Academy of Pediatrics where they've pushed out this information. They want to use what we are doing as a template. And I've been on the national circuit talking about what we're doing. And people are saying, so are you asking for money? Are you looking for money? I go, no. We just want to push out our toolkit so that if any community wants to do this, they can. It's that simple.
That's wonderful. You know, it would be nice if we could all have the opportunity to have an impact on the community like you have here with this one idea that started over breakfast or whatever it was, yeah? Beautiful, yeah? If somebody wants to get involved, if they want to participate, tell me again, how can they do it?
All you do is go to the wastenotoc.org website, and you can contact us through that. If you go to the news tab, you'll see a lot of the coverage that we've gotten, including the PBS special. They came out here, and it was about a 10-minute piece that they did, and it really highlighted the issues in Orange County and the fact that we are moving forward and making a difference.
And to the businesses out there and to the restaurant owners out there, what would you like to leave them with? What thought would you like to leave them with?
Well, let me answer that a little bit differently.
Sure.
5 years from now, I would love not to exist. The Waste Not OC campaign, mm-hmm. that everybody is doing the right thing. So I want people and individuals and restaurants and others to have the forefront in their mind that this is the right thing to do. We all can do this if we combine our efforts. Imagine ending hunger in Orange County and to be the first county ever to do that.
Amazing. Dr. Eric Handler, thank you very much for coming in. Very appreciative of your time and your efforts that you're contributing for the community. Great job.
Thank you for the invitation.
Robert, always, man. Good call on your end as well.
Yeah, doctor, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to see you. I told Scott I met you in a giant warehouse and it was about 120 degrees. It was early in the morning. And I was just blown away by your dedication and what you do and shattering stereotypes that government employees are just a bunch of people that sit behind desks pushing buttons.
Yeah.
You're one of the most innovative entrepreneurs I've ever met and certainly the best in big government. So on behalf of all of us, I thank you for your caring, your dedication, your skill. I really want you to get down to Laguna as our next city, and I'll promise I'll help work with you here.
You got it. I'll be there. Thank you.
I love it.
Got it.
All right, you're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes here with my co-host,
Robert Palmer, and I want you to go back to 1970 when you first sat in that basement drinking your first little Miller High Life and your dad and your mom were out. This song will bring back all the memories. It's a beautiful
tequila.
Saturday. It's a beautiful day. I hope you enjoy your weekend. Take us out of here, Joe, and your Funk 49.
You've been listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.